Chiarisci che se sei Italia con il tal si è ritirata ancora. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Last night we spoke briefly about the anticipation of meeting with Krishna. This is known as Purvarag, the build-up for Krishna to meet with his dearmost consorts, and especially Srimati Radharani. Let us consider the scene in Vrindavan. Let us consider the scene amidst Krishna and the young gopis. Sometimes a question is asked, why are all the young gopis, besides Srimati Radharani, why are they all necessary? But the Shastra says that for the perfection of Radha and Krishna's loving exchanges, the more associates, the sweeter the exchange of rasa becomes. Krishna left his childhood phase and entered into the middle phase, Paganda. And there were some very significant changes which are very important for his consorts and particularly for Srimati Radharani. No more naughty, childish, prankish behavior from Krishna. He became serious. His childish waist became very streamlined and making his shoulders and chest very attractive. His eyes glimmered with excitement. And the restlessness of a naughty child now turned into the restless eyes looking here and there. Whom was Krishna looking for? Then we look at the changes that are going on amongst the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan, especially Srimati Radharani. These prime associates of Krishna all appeared within 2 weeks or a month of Krishna's appearance in this world. There were some very significant changes in them also. The Shastra explains that all the positive inputs from the nine planets became invested in these young gopis. And the Ashtasiddhi, the mystic perfections, also lodged in them. How is that? If you can understand how these mystic perfections lodged in the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, then you can see a direction that things are going in Vrindavan. Anima Siddhi, smaller than the smallest. Anima Siddhi, that mystic power, took residence in the waist of the gopis, particularly Srimati Radharani. Instead of the childish bigger waist, the waistline shrank extraordinarily. Mahima Siddhi, the mystic power of bigger than the biggest, that took form in the hips of Krishna's youthful consorts. And Lagima Siddhi, lighter than the lightest that misted perfection, took form as the rarely spoken words by Krishna's consorts. And then, Prakti Siddhi, the mystic power of acquisition, acquiring whatever you desire, that appeared as the gentle shyness of Srimati Radharani and her associates. Kama Visayata Siddhi, reaching anywhere and getting what you want, that became present in the corners of the gopi's eyes. And then Vasita Siddhi, the mystic power of being able to control minds, that took shelter in the glances of the gopis. Then Prakti Siddhi, of Prakamya Siddhi, fulfilling all one's desires, that mystic power appeared as the sweetness of the gopi's form. And then finally, Ishika Siddhi, a mystic power so great it could destroy universes and create universes, that manifested as the sidelong glances of the gopis. And as we know, in Vrindavan, sidelong glances are very important. There were extraordinary internal changes, especially in Srimati Radharani. Now, there's no question of any biological development. You're not dealing with material bodies. And love for Krishna always existed in Krishna's associates. But for the purpose of pastime, it's coming out at a particular phase in terms of madhuryaras, conjugal attraction. Within the hearts of the gopis was burning attraction for Krishna. And as Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj explained this morning, when you speak of the gopis and Krishna, always remember Srimati Radharani is the foremost. So it's very important to understand that internal situation. They were burning inside with attraction for Krishna. And they were always thinking, when are we going to meet our beloved Shyam Sundar? The Shastra describes that their hearts were so overwhelmed with love for Krishna that their minds were spinning. And also their minds were vibrating with attraction for Krishna. And of course, we know that the prime reciprocator of love for Krishna is Srimati Radharani. The execution of the household duties became very slack. The parents noticed something is going on here. At first, Srimati Radharani and the gopis tried to hide their love for Krishna from one another. Each girl wanted to hide that attraction that was building up so intensely for Krishna. But then they began to discuss it amongst themselves. Remember, as we heard last night, Machitama Gata Prana Bodhayata Prasma. The thoughts of my devotees, they're always dwelling upon Krishna, they're always talking about Krishna. So they came out of the closet, so to speak, and they began to share, these young girls, headed by Srimati Radharani, they began to share their mutual attraction for Krishna and the storm that was raging within. That storm is described, resembled a piece of rice, which is ripe on the inside and raw on the outside. So all this was going on inside. There were no external meetings yet. But this is the storm that's brewing before meeting with Krishna. The storm inside became so intense that they started to talk about it amongst themselves. And in particular, they would make presentations to Srimati Radharani. Vishakha would do this, Lalita would do this. Look at your situation, they would say to Srimati Radharani. What's come over you? You're no longer interested in your studies? You're no longer training your pet parrot? You're no longer amusing yourself by watching the peacocks dance? You're no longer playing your veena? You're no longer engaged in mirth and merriment with your young friends? What's come over you? Could it be that there is some kind of dark monsoon cloud? Could it be that there's some kind of blue tamal tree around? And each time they would make a presentation like that. Vishakha would do it, Lalita would do it, Shyamasaki would do it. Each time Srimati Radharani would deflect. What exactly are you speaking about? I think that these are feelings you have for a certain blue lotus, and you're trying to imply that I have those feelings. And furthermore, we all know that that certain blue lotus is totally unattainable, impossible to attain. So how could you ever suggest that I would try for the impossible? And so this kind of conversation would go on and on. Each of her intimate girlfriend associates presenting to her, we see the changes. It must be because of... And each time, Srimati Radharani would deflect and say, it's not that. In fact, she even told one of her girlfriends, you are projecting onto me things that are going on inside of you. Meeting with Krishna is extraordinary. But also extraordinary is this build-up of feelings before meeting Krishna. And the acharyas explained that the situation was especially intense because these young girlfriends of Krishna, they had not engaged in direct rasa with Krishna. Yet their minds were raging in this way. It's very interesting, this Purvarag stage, in which there are no more childish antics, not only by Krishna, but also by the gopis. This Purvarag, of course, develops into actual meetings with Krishna. And it's very interesting that Srila Jiva Goswami explains Mother Yashoda, she would express Nandi Mukhi. She presented this to Srimati Radharani. That, you know, Mother Yashoda, you know what she told me? She told me that, why is it the Creator has made a false husband for Srimati Radharani, when actually she is meant to be with my boy Krishna? If I could see both of them together, that would be the perfection. My son, he needs to be cooled by the embrace of Srimati Radharani. Mother Yashoda considered Srimati Radharani to be her daughter. Why is she so controlled by that mother-in-law? She's actually my daughter, and I consider that she's meant to be with Krishna. What has the Creator done by making such other situations? So in this way, the stage is set in Vrindavan for Radha and Krishna's loving affairs, which are extraordinarily confidential. So much so that once Raghunath Das Goswami, he asked Sukh Damodar, "You and Ramananda Roy are always singing all these beautiful songs about Radha and Krishna's loving affairs. To me, they all sound like mundane songs of romance. Can you please explain to me how these songs are singing about something spiritual? It's all beyond me." Now this is Raghunath Das, whose austerities we cannot imagine executing a life like that. Yet he considered himself with genuine humility. "You're singing these songs by Chandidas Vijayapati. They just sound like mundane love songs to me. So, please enlighten me about this." What does Sukh Damodar do? He said, "Please come with me to a private place and we'll talk about these things." In this way, Sukh Damodar indicates that such subject matter is to be spoken about with great caution and great consideration. So these are the intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they're acting in this way. Let's go somewhere quiet now. I'll answer your question. So in private, Sukh Damodar told Raghunath Das, "Actually, Ramananda Roy and I, and even Gadadhar Pandit, we don't fully understand anything about Radha Krishna Leela. But if Lord Chaitanya vibrates my tongue and also gives you the mercy to understand, then we can have a discussion and it will be successful." This is the humility of Sukh Damodar. The obstacle in our mind that we need to overcome is, how can the Supreme Personality of Godhead engage in loving affairs? We will not escape the impersonalism that Srinathji Prabhu was describing until we fully grant Krishna his status as the Supreme Enjoyer and Srimati Radharani, the Supreme Enjoyed. is impossible to separate Radha from Krishna. The one has become two, and sometimes the two become one. There's no question of time when this happens, because all these dealings are outside the realm of material time. The potent cannot be separated from the potency, and the potency cannot be separated from the potent. You cannot separate the sunlight from the sun, or another example Prabhupada gave. You can't separate the milk from the cow. Similarly, you cannot separate Krishna's Shakti from him. Shakti, Shakti Mutura Veda. The pastimes of the Supreme Potent and his potency are meant to attract us from the contaminated affairs of material existence. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that anyone who actually understands this Radha Krishna loving affairs, it'll be impossible for them to engage in material sense gratification. Totally impossible. If you actually understand what's going on. On this most auspicious day, Shivanahasari, we beg Srimati Radharani for the capacity to engage in Krishna's service in a way that pleases Krishna. That is the heart and soul of bhakti. Service for Krishna's satisfaction. And that can only happen with the help of Krishna's devotees, and especially Krishna's foremost devotee, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani ki
jai. Namo Om Vishnu Padme Krishna Prasanna Bhutale. Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Paskitiade Shatane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 devotees, people in the doorway standing, you're free to come forward. There's plenty of room here. You know, previously we didn't have carpets on the floor. Everyone just had to sit on the marble tiles anyway. But now everyone's holding on to their piece of rag. So all the space is free. And when the arati happens in a few minutes, you will be in the front row. So anyway, I leave it up to you. But I'm just suggesting. One time, Lord Krishna was herding his cows just somewhere near Nandagram, Yavat, that area, sort of northwestern Raj Mandala. And who should approach him but Purnamasi. She is the presiding deity of the internal potency, Yogamaya, in Vrindavan. She is overseeing all the pastimes and supervising who does what and who goes where and what happens. All these things, all very specifically with a view to enhance and increase the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. So Purnamasi approached Lord Krishna there out in the fields, somewhere near an underground Yavat area, and she gave him a big laddu, big one, serious one, and she said, "Here, this is for you, take it." Krishna took it, now it's in his hand. And Purnamasi said, "There was a wedding in the village. This is prasadam from the wedding. I brought it especially for you." So Krishna's now looking at this very tasty laddu and lifting it to his mouth. And just slowly, and he said, "A wedding? Really? I didn't know about that. Who got married?" Purnamasi said, "Abhimanyu, the son of Jatila." And Krishna still now is slowly lifting the laddu towards his mouth. Krishna said, "Really? Abhimanyu? That schmuck." That klutz. "Who married him?" And now he said that he's opening his mouth. Just about to take a bite. And one of the rest said, "Who married him?" "Srimati Radharani," as Krishna took a bite. Bang. Took a bite. Krishna sort of froze. Then he made this face like, yuck. And he spat out the laddu. And said, "That was the worst laddu I ever had." So, we were reading earlier this morning from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I wanted to read a few more verses. "E sabha siddhanta bhuta kahite na yuyai na kahire keha ihar anta nahi pai." All these conclusions are unfit to disclose in public. But if they are not disclosed, no one will understand them. All these conclusions are unfit to disclose in public. Doesn't mean they're not up to the standard of the public. Therefore, they're unfit. But the unfit is the public. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, his followers, at least we can get some glimpse, some insight into all these amazing things. "Ata eva kahikichu kalina nigudha bujive rasika bhakta na bujive mudha." Therefore I shall mention them, revealing only their essence, so that loving devotees will understand them, but fools will not. "Hridaye daraye ye chaitanya nityananda e sabha siddhanta se paive ananda." Anyone who has captured Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu in his heart will become blissful by hearing all these transcendental conclusions. All these conclusions are like the newly grown twigs of a mango tree. They are always pleasing to the devotees, who in this way resemble cuckoo birds. Abhakta ushtrera ite nahaya pravesha tadechite hayamora ananda vishesha. Listen to this. The camel-like non-devotees cannot enter into these topics. Therefore, there is special jubilation in my heart. We're entering a very transcendental region. For fear of them, I do not wish to speak. But if they do not understand, then what can be happier in all the three worlds? Therefore, after offering obeisances to the devotees for their satisfaction, I shall speak without hesitating. Once Lord Krishna considered within his heart, everyone says that I am complete bliss, full of all rasas. All the world derives pleasure from me. Is there anyone who can give me pleasure? One who has 100 times more qualities than me could give pleasure to my mind. One more qualified than me is impossible to find in the world. But in Radha alone, I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure. Although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, although it is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the three worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to my eye. The vibration of my transcendental flutes attracts the three worlds. But my ears are enchanted by the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, the scent of Radharani's limbs captivates my mind and heart. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes because of me, I am charmed by the nectarian taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radhika. Thus, although I am the source of happiness for the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. So, it is very amazing. Well, it is more than very amazing. It is completely in another realm. But I think you're understanding, following the message a little bit. This is because you have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda from Srila Prabhupada. In these ways our minds can penetrate what to others is just some mystery, something to be misunderstood. So, let me read one or two more verses. I have gotten the embrace of Sri Krishna, Radharani thinks, So now my life is fulfilled. Thus she remains immersed in pleasing Krishna, taking a tamal tree in her arms. Krishna says, when a favorable breeze carries to her the fragrance of my body, she is blinded by love and tries to fly into that breeze. When she tastes the beetle chewed by me, she merges in an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. Even with hundreds of mouths, I could not express the transcendental pleasure she derives from my association. This is Krishna. So we can see Srimati Radharani is really on another level altogether. One last verse. Her eyes are enchanted by the beauty of Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa. Her body thrills in pleasure at his touch. Her ears are always attracted to his sweet voice. Her nostrils are enchanted by his fragrance. And her tongue hankers for the nectar of his soft lips. She hangs down her lotus-like face, exercising self-control only by pretense. But she cannot help showing the external signs of her spontaneous love for Lord Krishna. This is Srimati Radharani, the supreme emblem of devotional service, the presiding deity of devotional service, the queen of devotional service. She is very, very special in a class of her own. In fact, she is on such a high level. Even the greatest of the devotees, they're hankering. How can we get the association of Radharani? How can we just get to see Radharani and see how she relates with Krishna and appreciate those interactions at least a little? Even the greatest devotees are hankering like that. One time, Arjuna approached Lord Krishna and said, "My dear Krishna, I've been hearing about Radharani and I am astonished. Please, I want to meet her. I want to be present when she meets with you and you have some loving pastimes." Krishna told Arjuna, "You cannot be present. You cannot be present because I am the only male in these exchanges. You cannot be anywhere near." Arjuna begged Lord Krishna. Krishna said, "All right." Krishna called Purnamasi. Purnamasi manifests in Dwaraka as Ekanamsa. She's another form of yoga mind. So Purnamasi came and took Arjuna by the hand before they knew they were in Vrindavan, before Arjuna knew. They went to Kusum Sarova and she grabbed Arjuna and pushed him into the waters of Kusum Sarova. Arjuna came out in the form of a gopi, Arjuniya. Arjuniya, yes. So gentlemen, watch take back your cousins. You take her if you're ready. But it is like that. Arjuna forgot about being Arjuna and any of these things. Actually, she did not really know what was going on, except here I am in this gopi body. What to do? Paulanasi said, come with me, and introduced Arjuna to some of the gopis. And they asked her, who are you? She said, well, I don't really know. But Paulanasi says, my name is Arjuna. But Arjuna was such a gentle and nice gopi that the gopis accepted her. And that evening, when the dancing took place, Rasa dancing, Arjuna took part. And at some point, Krishna took her away with Radharani. Some special pastimes went on. Arjuna got to witness. And she was just so overwhelmed and completely astonished. The next morning, Paurnamasi took Arjuna by the hand and said, come with me. They went back to Kusum Sarova. Paurnamasi just pushed her back into the water of Kusum Sarova. Arjuna came out again as Arjuna. But now Arjuna could remember all this. So Arjuna went back to Krishna in Dwaraka and said, thank you so much. What an experience that was. I never ever experienced anything practically beginning to be like that. Another famous devotee, great, great devotee, also had the same idea. Just the same idea. That was Lord Shiva. Har Har Mahadev. Lord Shiva had that idea. He is big dancer, as you may know, Nataraj. And he was from the heavenly planets, Kailash, watching the Rasa dance every night and seeing different happenings, particularly Radharani's interactions with Krishna. So, Lord Shiva, he became fascinated with the Rasa dance, and he also wanted to take part. So down he went, and he walked up to the gopis and said, you know, I'm Lord Shiva, because he's used to people taking him very seriously. I'm Lord Shiva, I want to take part in the dance, Rasa dance. They looked at him and said, you what? You what? Krishna is the only male in the Rasa dance. Get out. No one ever told Lord Shiva that before. So he didn't know what to do. Then, again, magically, by Krishna's arrangement, out of mercy to Lord Shiva, Paurnamasi appeared and took him by the hand and took him not to Kusum Sarova, but Mansarova. It is another beautiful and amazing transcendental lake. Srimati Radharani goes there when she is, sometimes when she's feeling a little upset and angry with Krishna. Therefore it is called Mansarova. Man means that transcendental anger of Srimati Radharani. So that lake is imbued with her transcendental nature. Paurnamasi immersed Lord Shiva in the waters. He came out as a gopi. Gopeshwar Shiva. And off he went to the Rasa Dance to meet Radharani and get to experience what the association of Radharani is like and all those things that happen in that dance. He just walked up in his female form, Gopeshwar, and said, "Here I am. When's the dance starting?" The gopis looked at him. And saw Shiva in a female form, but still big, powerfully built female. And they looked at this gopi. "Who are you? We never saw you before." So they asked Gopeshwar, "What's your name?" Purnamasi had neglected to give him a name. At least Arjuna became Arjuniya. But Gopeshwar Shiva, he didn't know. And he said, "Name? What do you mean, name? You mean my name? What people call me? Is that what you mean? Calling them?" They said, "Yes, that's right." And he said, "Okay, right, fine, good. Name, alright." He couldn't tell them about Lord Shiva, they'd already kicked him out before. So he said, "You know what? I'm so sorry, I can't remember. It's on the tip of my tongue." And the gopi said, "Okay, sure, that's fine." Sarcastically. They said, "Alright, you don't know your own name. That's fine. What are the names of your parents?" "Parents? What do you mean, parents? You mean mother and father? Is that what you mean? Oh, I just call them Mata and Pita. We are not on first name terms. But you must know their names." "You know, I always stay a distance. I always bow down in front of them. I don't know their names." And the gopi said, "Right, sure. Then what's the name of your village?" He couldn't say Kailash. He said, "Village? You mean village? You mean where I live? Is that what you mean?" "Yes." And he said, "Well, I just call it home." "It's, you know, it's that village. You know, you just go down there and around the corner and over the hill. You know that village, right?" And the gopi said, "Sure." And it's a long story, actually. But then they said, "What's that snake doing around your neck? You're weird. And those ashes on your body, it looks like the ashes of cremated human bodies." He said, "Latest cosmetic." "And what is that fountain of water coming out of your head?" That's the Ganges, he couldn't say that. He said, "Ah, keeps me cool." So the gopi said, "Listen, you're just too weird. You're too strange. We're going to beat you up." They're tough girls. Purnamasi appeared on the scene and pacified the gopis and said, "Actually, I know this gopi. She's a very nice girl. She is a little eccentric, but at heart, she is very nice. So don't beat her up and let her take part in the dance." Gopi said, "Well, all right. If you ask us to not beat her up, we won't. But we are not going to let her in the rasa dance." And Purnamasi spoke to Radharani and said, "Look at this girl. See how big and strong she is. Let her at least stay on the side of the residence. She can be the bouncer. And Pogarasi said, Vrinda Devi can be the ticket collector. She'll check people out before they enter. And if someone has not got their documentation and qualification in order, Vrinda Devi will just hand them over to Gopishwa, to this gopi. So you see paintings of the residents, some of the old paintings on this side, you see Gopishwa. If you look carefully, you'll see Gopishwa. Narada Muni also wanted to enter the residence. Purnamasi also put him in Kusum Sarova. He came out as Naradi. And he's still there, just nearby, on the banks of Narada Kund. You'll see there's a deity in the temple there at Narada Kund. There's Narada with his veena. And behind him is Naradi. He's there in his gopi form. And you know what happened next?